Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us on the line from Hollow Rock, Tennessee, Henry Lamb. Hi, Henry. How are you doing?
Just super. How are you, Dr. Stan?
I'm doing just great. And, of course, there's so many things going on today in the environmental movement and this move towards this world government, this regulation of the individual. Why don't you sort of bring us up to date on some of the things that you think are so important that are taking place?
Well, you're right. There's a number of things going on that are exceedingly important. Perhaps the most important urgent thing that's going on is the current effort to ratify the Convention on the Law of the Seas. This is a treaty that Ronald Reagan rejected back in 1982, but it keeps coming back and coming back and coming back. And it is now in the Senate for consideration for ratification.
All right. Is there any organized opposition to that?
Oh, yes. The opposition got started late because the senators who are pushing this treaty didn't want it known that it was moving through the Senate. But the moment we found out, we were able to activate literally hundreds of thousands of people around the country to flood their Senate offices with requests to reject this treaty. And it really has put a hitch in the come along of those people who want to see it ratified.
Well, I know that back in April of 1974, writing in the Foreign Affairs magazine, Richard Gardner, who is a Rhodes Scholar and certainly one of the leaders of this whole movement towards world government, talked about how they were going to do an end run around the Constitution using these international treaties. And one of them, as he mentioned, as I remember, was the Law of the Sea Treaty. So this has been around for a long time. And it really is to bring us under the control of this new world government, isn't it?
Yes, it certainly is. It's a major step toward global governance. And it has a number of features that are really horrible, but a number of features that would give the United Nations agency powers that they've never had before.
All right, fine. So what would you like? Would you suggest that our listeners write to their senators and just tell them that this is something that will be a disaster for America and simply be one more nail in the coffin of our sovereignty?
Well, sovereignty is a major issue with this treaty, but let me suggest that rather than writing, since the anthrax scare, written letters don't get to the Senate for months. It's far better to email, telephone, or fax.
All right, fine. And what about the implications of for the ability then the United Nations to be able to tax certainly the companies that are using the sea lanes? This would give them the United Nations access to tremendous funding, wouldn't it?
Well, yes, it actually would, although the supporters of the treaty contend that it would not. And we might ought to discuss that in a little more detail during a segment where you have that much time.
All right, fine. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Henry Lamb. And we'll be getting into more detail on what really is involved with the Law of the Sea Treaty. But each one of these treaties takes away just a little more of our individual sovereignty, or a nation's sovereignty, and our individual freedom. Because when sovereignty is gone, freedom as we know it is gone. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Henry Lamb from Echologic, and we're talking about the Law of the Sea Treaty. And this is now actually passed out of, my understanding, the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. It's going to be considered on the floor of the Senate, and they want to get this thing through because it is designed to take away our sovereignty. And when our sovereignty goes, our constitutional protections of freedom are gone. And when our freedom is gone, of course, then we will become subject to the control of the massive UN bureaucracy, unelected and unresponsive, that would control all of mankind. So why don't you pick up the implications of the Law of the Sea Treaty?
Well, this, for the very first time, it does a number of things, not the least of which is give a United Nations agency, the International Seabed Authority, it's called, the authority to require a permit for the privilege of exploring the international seabed. This permit begins at $250,000, and any minerals that are produced, oil or any other minerals that are produced as a result of this exploration, the companies would have to pay a royalty as much as 12% to this International Seabed Authority. Now, this is exceedingly significant because until now, the United Nations has no power to generate its own independent revenue. While the proponents of the treaty say that the International Seabed Authority is not the United Nations, it functions at the behest of the United Nations, and for all purposes administratively, it is an agency of the United Nations. Now, it is true that the treaty does say that profits from this exploration and mining of the seabed would be distributed to the member nations. But this profit occurs after expenses have been taken. And you know, of course, who decides what the expenses are.
Right.
Now, even, well, as important at least, this treaty declares sovereign immunity to this International Seabed Authority and the enterprise which it creates. That means simply that there is no authority on the face of the earth that can audit the operation, that can subpoena records. There is no accountability to anyone by this particular organization that is created by this treaty.
All right.
It gets worse from there, Dr. Stanley.
All right, I'm going to ask you to hold that thought for just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest is Henry Lamb from Hollow Rock, Tennessee, and he has been talking about, of course, this Law of the Sea Treaty, and first of all, there would be a seabed authority, and no one would be able to explore the seabed without a permit from the seabed authority, and permits would start at about $250,000. And of course, the seabed authority, which would be a function of the United Nations, would have sovereign immunity. In other words, no one would be able to audit it or control it in any way, and it would give supranational power to groups that would be able to tell our duly elected representatives, our constitutional representatives, what to do. We're already seeing this with the World Trade Organization, and this is simply one more nail in the coffin of national sovereignty. They're taking away our sovereignty as a nation and undermining our Constitution just a little bit at a time. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yes. No question about it. And the bites out of our sovereignty that each of these treaties take is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. In this particular treaty, Dr. Stan, Article 2 in this thing requires that territorial seas be governed in compliance with this Law of the Seas Treaty. Now, imagine that. Our territorial seas, if we ratify this treaty, we are saying to the United Nations, we will govern our territorial seas according to the dictates of this international treaty.
Now, of course, will they control fishing? Will they control what about the travel of major vessels across the ocean?
Well, this treaty is incredibly long and complex. Has more than 320 articles, a 9-part annex, and then an additional nine-part agreement beyond the annex. It is just a massive treaty and exceedingly complex. But it does speak to environmental issues all the way to the estuaries on our coasts. It does speak to innocent passage in territorial seas. And it sets up a whole regimen of activities that are permissible and not permissible. It creates a dispute settlement mechanism that is extremely complex, four different components. The question one has to ask is, why get involved and entangled with all of this garbage when we already have every benefit that this treaty claims to offer?
Well, perhaps it's because there are people who would do away with our sovereignty, whose loyalty is not to the United States, but to this utopian dream of a new world order and a new world religion.
Well, sadly, there are many people, and some in Washington and some in this administration, who firmly believe that the day of the nation state has passed and that the next plateau of human civilization must be an international regime, global governance, world government, but not nation states. I don't subscribe to that theory, obviously, but John Turner, who is an assistant secretary of state for international affairs, does. And he is the one who is pushing this treaty. He has also said publicly, as soon as he gets this treaty ratified, he's going to revisit the Convention on Biological Diversity, which is the treaty we had nearly defeated in 94, but has not yet been ratified.
All right. In fact, that is the one that came out of the Second Earth Summit that, of course, was going to produce the wilderness areas and begin to massively expand government control over everything in the name of sustainable development. And it's actually been implemented, even in many ways, hasn't it?
Oh,
despite
yes.
the fact that our duly elected representatives refused to ratify it.
Yes, that's very true. The Clinton administration set out to implement policies designed to achieve the goals of the treaty, even though the treaty had been rejected.
In other words, it really, in many ways, our duly elected representatives are sort of figureheads, because if the executive wants to go around them and circumvent them, they'll just go ahead and do it, and they really don't care what the elected representatives or what the people want. It almost seems like they have their own agenda.
It would certainly appear that way quite often.
All right, fine. So now, who is this? Is it John Turner you're speaking of?
Yes, John Turner is the Assistant Secretary of State for International Affairs, for Ocean and Environmental Affairs. And he happens to be from Wyoming. He was in the legislature out there with one Dick Cheney. Dick Cheney and John Turner are fly fishing buddies from way, 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 way back. And it is through that connection that John Turner has his job in the first place. And it is through the Dick Cheney connection that he has been able to advance this treaty with the at least tacit blessings of the administration.
And is there any way to get the administration to withdraw their tacit blessings and to try to preserve our national sovereignty?
Well, there is some conflict within the highest corridors of the administration. Karl Rove is the political advisor to the president, and he is not happy with this treaty having been presented at this time during an election year. He has expressed his displeasure. Condi Rice has not spoken publicly on this issue, but rumor has it, and the rumors in the back door corridors has it that Mr. Bush himself was not aware that this treaty was being presented when it was being presented, and that he was not altogether happy when he learned about it.
Well, can't he certainly come forward and just say, we oppose this, and just take Mr. Turner off and send him off to maybe the garbage detail or something?
Well,
I mean, if you really want to stop this, I would think it would be the easiest thing to do when you were the President of the United States, because, of course, the people such as this, the Assistant Secretaries and Undersecretaries, serve at the pleasure of the Secretary of State and the President.
That's true. However, you have to recognize that this president and every president is a political creature. Mr. Turner is no dummy. Before this treaty was presented, he held many sessions over a period of 3 years with the oil industry, with the Navy, with certain folks in the Navy, and generated a great deal of institutional support for this treaty, telling them things that, in my judgment, are not accurate. In fact, the legal advisor to the State Department presented detailed testimony to the Foreign Relations Committee the other day, and I reviewed that testimony and found many of the assertions made to be at variance from the language of the treaty. So when the treaty was reviewed by the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee this week, last Tuesday as a matter of fact, I submitted testimony rebutting much of Mr. Taft's testimony.
Were you actually allowed to testify yourself?
I was not there and present. However, two opponents were there and spoke. I was allowed to submit my testimony in writing, and it is a part of the congressional record. But this committee was chaired by Senator Inhofe, and he was far more interested in getting a balanced view than was Senator Lugar, who chairs the Foreign Relations Committee. Senator Lugar would not allow any opposing voices or any opposing testimony in the Foreign Relations Committee. Now, I spoke a while ago about this displeasure at the top of the Clinton, at the top of the Bush administration. When Mr. Lugar learned about that displeasure, he made it clear that he intended to pass this treaty and get it ratified with or without the White House support.
All right, but of course the president can always veto it, can't he?
Not a treaty.
He can't, because he has two-thirds, then it goes through without his...
Well, he has the option of presenting it to the Senate or not.
I see.
So it was presented with his approval, even though he didn't know about it. It was presented by the administration, and he lost his chance to block it.
Well, I would hope that he was fired, whoever did that. Has he taken any action to stop this, because realizing the implications of it?
Not yet. But I have to recognize that while we think this treaty is absolutely horrendous, at least half the population, if not more, think that this is a wonderful thing.
Now, half the population, do you honestly believe that half of the population in the United States supports giving up our national sovereignty?
Yes, Dr. Stan. Let me say it this way. Half the voting population. The vast majority of the Democrats and a significant portion of the Republicans believe that we need to get more involved with the United Nations. I have seen reaction to the opposing testimony, articles written about Frank Gaffney's testimony and Peter Leitner's testimony and my testimony and the editorials that have been written by those proponents of the treaty refer to us as neo-isolationists and right-wing protectionists.
All right, and of course, for our listeners, Frank Gaffney is certainly one of the people back in Washington, D.C. What is he, the Center for Security Studies, what is his
organization? Center for Security Policy.
Center for Security Policy.
Yes.
And I disagree with Frank on some things, but on this I think he's right on. Well, we're going to be back here in just a few minutes with Henry Lamb, and we want, of course, you to understand what is really going on, because you're not going to hear this through many, many channels. And, of course, the only way we're going to block this is for you to be involved. And involved right now. We'll be right back here with Henry Lamb talking about this Law of the Sea Treaty.
Our four tape set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination. A two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of the American president. And then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out. And if you listen to this four tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Okay, well, this is Dr. Stan. Let me just mention that we carry Phenopoly. It's a game designed to teach you or your children, your grandchildren, how to spell phonetically, how to pronounce words phonetically, and how to read phonetically. And so if you are a victim of a liberal education, if you're somebody who has difficulty spelling or pronouncing words just as you read spontaneously, let me suggest that you seriously consider getting a Phonopoly program. It's played just like Monopoly. It's loads of fun. But in the process, you learn the 40 basic sounds of the English language. You learn the 12 rules of the English language. And you'll be able to read better, and you'll be able to spell better. It takes about 16 hours, but it's really, the results have been dramatic. Most of these programs are $300, $400, $500, $600, and of course this one is $139.95. If you'd like to know more about it, you can go to our website, or give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Henry Lamb. We're talking about the Law of the Sea Treaty, which, of course, has already been through the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, and that's been passed out of there. Now it's going to be, is it another Senate committee, or is it going to?
It will be reviewed by the Armed Services Oversight Committee as well.
All right, fine. Is that where it is now?
It has not left to the Environment and Public Works Committee. They may have another hearing on it.
All right, fine. And so then it goes from there then to the Armed Services Committee, and then it'll go to the floor of the Senate. And so how long do you think we have to raise an awareness of what they're up to and the implications of what this is really all about?
Well, time is of the essence. Tomorrow, Monday morning is not too early to begin talking to your senators, and particularly to Bill Frist. Even though he is a Tennessee senator, he is the leader, majority leader, and controls when that treaty will be scheduled. What we are trying to do is to get it bottled up in a committee and not even let it get to the floor, because I'm not confident that we have 35 senators who will oppose it.
Well, I think that's a frightening thing, because we know this is long-range planning, and you would think that we'd have almost at least 35 senators who believe in American national sovereignty.
Well, you would think so, but when Article 2 says outright that we will govern our territorial seas according to the terms of the treaty, that is a direct giveaway of our sovereignty. There are at least three other articles within the treaty that says we shall conform our laws to meet the terms of particular provisions of this treaty. If this is not the UN dictating to us what we must do, then, that's exactly what it is. And if that's not a surrender of our sovereignty to an international body, then that's crazy. That's exactly what it is.
Well, of course, even those people who may feel that we have to cooperate with the United Nations should realize that when we surrender our sovereignty, we surrender our freedom, because our freedom is based upon our sovereignty as a nation and the fact that we are a nation that is governed by the laws of the Constitution. And once that Constitution has been compromised, why then our freedom is compromised as well, and we become subject to the rule of an international bureaucracy. Do you think the average person really understands what it would be like to live under a UN bureaucracy?
No chance. It's unless you have been there and seen that bureaucracy grinding away, there's no way to imagine how horrible it really is. But as if right now, for example, people do know how difficult it is to get a zoning change in a local community when the governing authority is five county commissioners, or a state legislature, or a federal agency such as Fish and Wildlife Service. Imagine having to go to the International Seabed Authority, who imposes a zoning restriction on an estuary on Chesapeake Bay, for example, or San Francisco Bay, which this treaty has the authority to impose. There's no chance that the individual would have any recourse at all.
And I think that's really so important that people really understand where we're headed. We're headed towards a situation where the loss of freedom, liberty, and limited government were synonymous. That's what our founding fathers believed. And tyranny and total government were synonymous. And we're moving away from limited government towards total government. And you know, one of the most distressing things is I'm not reading about this in the New York Times.
The New York Times had an article, but it was an article chastising the opponents.
Well, of course, I think the people must understand that there's certainly we're not hearing a great deal about this, and whenever I see something like that sort of stealth legislation, I realize, of course, that there's some skullduggery going on, and I think that everybody who is listening to this program out across America should understand the importance of this legislation. This has been around. Well, Richard Gardner was talking about this back in 1974. Scholar, Richard Gardner, and part of this ruling elite who really believe they know so much more about how the world should be governed than us common folks. And, of course, the big barrier in their way is our Constitution, and that's what he says in the article, April 1974, Foreign Affairs Magazine. You ought to get it, you ought to read it, you ought to understand there's an agenda. And when we get back here in just a few moments, we'll welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295.
Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam and Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City, what really happened with the TWA 800 that went down off the eastern coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts, entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, this book has been suppressed very effectively across America. It's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that'll give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Let me tell you about the Berkey filters. There's the big Berkey. It's made out of stainless steel. Oh, it stands maybe almost 24 inches high. And you put water in the top, and it goes down through the ceramic filters, packed with activated carbon, comes out in the lower chamber. And you've taken on most of the herbicides and pesticides and bacteria and other things and the bad taste. And a lot of things that you don't want in your water are absorbed by the filters, by the activated carbon. This has been a mainstay for missionaries throughout the world, going back for 100-150 years. This is a great filter, and of course you can repeatedly clean the filters, you can boil them, you can get rid of some of the chemicals that are in them when you boil them. And so the Big Berkey is a mainstay. They're $239, and you can see pictures of them on our website at RadioLiberty.com. They're available in every state but California and Iowa. Now, if you want to get something here in the West Coast, why, you can actually get the Berkey Light. It's exactly the same design and made out of Lexan, so you can see the water level. And I like that. That's why we have the Berkey Light. And, of course, then they have what we call the Black Berkey filters. And there's two Black Berkey filters, and they're really water purifiers. They do even a far better job of taking everything out that you wouldn't want, or letting the things in water that you would want. They do not take out fluoride or arsenic, but there are special post filters that you can get that will do that for both the Big Berkey and the Berkey Light. The Berkey Light is $199, and of course if you buy either the Big Berkey or the Berkey Light through our ministry, why, you'll get a free video or free 4 tapes that we produce. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the Big Berkey or Berkey Light. Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Henry Lamb. Henry, first of all, let's tell people how they can get in touch with you, and then would you like to tell them about the conference you're going to be putting on there? Is it the end of July or end of January? End of June?
Yeah, it is July 21 through 24. It's the 5th Annual Freedom 21 Conference, and it will be in Reno at John Scroggins Nugget Hotel.
All right, fine. And how would people, if they were interested in going, get in touch with you?
The easiest way to get in touch with us is through our website, which is freedom.org.
That's freedom.org.
Right, and there we have several websites. You can just take your pick and get all the details about the conference, see the speakers, more than 30 outstanding speakers from around the country. Our twice-monthly online publication, Ecologic Powerhouse, is available, as well as tons of material documentation on the issues that we're discussing.
And, of course, what does it cost to actually go to the conference?
The registration for the conference is $75.
And, boy, that's a real bargain because it's a four-day conference.
Yes.
And it's going to be an outstanding conference. So let me recommend that to you. So let's go right now go to Elizabeth, who's calling us from Maryland. Hi, Elizabeth. How are you doing?
Just fine, Dr. Stan. Thank you and Henry Lamb for this significant warning to us about this treaty. And I can't help but think of the biodiversity treaty when Dr. Michael Kaufman and Kay Bailey Hutchison and some other brave people managed to get 3 million faxes sent over the country. And I urge your listeners to do something.
All right, fine. Maybe we just barrage them with faxes because we have to let them know that we know what's going to happen. And I'm sure that there's some of the senators who really have no idea. In fact, they voted for the desertification treaty, and most of the senators didn't even know what they were voting on, did they, Henry?
That's correct. And this treaty was following precisely the same path when it came out of the Foreign Relations Committee. The request was for a voice vote, without any further debate, without any recorded vote, and we were able to stop that, fortunately.
Would you like to just tell our listeners briefly what the desertification treaty is that did pass by voice vote, and when you've talked to one of the senators, he didn't even know he'd voted on it?
That's correct. This treaty is another of these UN environmental treaties, and it gives to the United Nations, this agency created by the treaty, jurisdiction over land in 17 of our states, in our western states in particular, and it too requires that we conform our laws to comply with the objectives of this treaty. It is another of these treaties through which we surrender our sovereignty and agree voluntarily to do what an international body tells us to do.
It's really incredible. Well, did you have anything else you wanted to say, Elizabeth?
Just one more thing. When Henry Lamb mentioned that there weren't too many senators he thought who would be favorable, I would like them to think about what they want to leave to their grandchildren. Do they want to live in tyranny and have their grandchildren in tyranny?
Some people really have a different worldview, Elizabeth. That's the hardest thing, I think, for the average individual to realize, is that the people really look at the world entirely differently. They do not think this will affect them. They think we're too dumb to know what's best, and they believe in this utopian vision of a new world order and a new world religion. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Roger calling from Pennsylvania. Roger, do you have a question or comment?
Yes, thank you, gentlemen. Well, first, I'd like to ask all the listeners to grab for their pencils because I'd like to give out two toll-free numbers for the Capitol Hill switchboard. And thank you first, Henry, for pointing out that with the anthrax letter filtering delays, your bill is likely to be voted on before they even open that letter.
Correct.
And also, if you get a busy signal, call on that switchboard. It's really pointless to wait more than 2 seconds to call back till the lines clear up, because there are so many lines going in there that that doesn't enhance your prospects. Okay, the numbers are 800-648-3516 and 877-762-8762. Again, 800-648-3516 and 877-762-8762. And we also got to get ahead on this awful Free Trade of the Americas bill that's slated to be rammed through by January of next year.
That's correct.
And God bless, gentlemen.
All right,
thank you very much for the phone numbers.
Thank you so much, Roger. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, our telephone number again is 877-996-4327. That's 888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888- I'm sorry, 888-24-LIBERTY, that's 888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. And, you know, I think, Henry, one of the biggest problems we have is that there are a lot of Americans out there who find it hard to believe that these things could really be going on, who really cannot believe that we could ever lose our freedom here in the United States. And yet, this has happened in many other countries, hasn't it? When, of course, people were not involved, they eventually lost their freedom. Isn't this what happened in Hitler's Germany? Isn't this what happened in Benito Mussolini's Italy? Didn't the people vote themselves into tyranny?
Absolutely. That's exactly what happened. And, you know, people are busy earning a living and trying to stay ahead of the economy. But I'll tell you, unless we do pay attention, get involved, and take control of our government, this country will no longer be free.
And, of course, I'm so glad that you're back there in Washington, D.C., and attending these meetings and in contact with the people in Washington, D.C., so that you can bring us the message of what's really happening, because I do not think that people, even though if they know there is this treaty being passed, realize the implications of it, and it's simply just one more small step.
That's
but,
true.
But you take enough small steps, and pretty soon they're all the way to their goal, and we've lost everything.
That's true. Dr. Stan, it might be a good idea for people who are interested in this issue to visit our website and read the articles on the treaty, or go to WorldNet Daily and look at my archives. I've done 3 articles recently on this treaty, and get familiar with the issues, so that whenever you talk to your senator or your senator's staff, you can tell them specifically the things that you think are bad about this treaty, rather than just saying we oppose it.
All right, and that would be www.worldnetdaily.com. WorldNetDaily is one word, and com comes after the period, and then you go to the Henry Lamb archives there. And, of course, you have to understand this, and you have to try to explain it to others. And when enough people understand and are writing and faxing, why, of course, this will have a tremendous impact. Especially, you know, it would be one thing if the administration were pushing this. If the administration is not actively pushing this, why then I think that the senators will be much more prone to listen to the people, wouldn't you?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And I think that there is some wisdom in writing the White House, in writing the president, and writing to Karl Love, or faxing these people, or calling these people, because it is true that the president, with one word, could tell Mr. John Turner to stay home, and with one word to Bill Frist, see that this treaty does not come up for a vote. And we need to let the president and Karl Rove know how we feel about it.
Well, I would be very, very surprised that they would bring up something this controversial, you know, in an election year, because this, you know, if this thing goes through, I would think that there would be many conservatives would be so disillusioned that on election day in November they're going to stay home and saying, you know, we're not going to support the president if he's done this. Is there any way we could let the president realize the jeopardy that he is in because of this legislation and because of Mr. Turner's actions?
We have made steps in precisely that direction through the Office of Strategic Initiatives within the White House. We are able to communicate directly the sentiment of many people across this country. And that I think will have some impact.
And you know, this is a year when I think that people are really going to listen to us much more. I will tell you that if your senator is coming up for election, and he knows that there are an awful lot of people out there in his district who are angry with him, he's going to listen to what they have to say. Because, of course, there's one thing about our elected officials, that many of them may not be too firm and fixed what their beliefs are, but they're dedicated to one thing, and that's staying in office.
That's
and
right.
I would think this would be very, very applicable also to the current administration. If they knew that they were going to lose the support of the Christian right by letting this legislation go through and letting the United Nations expand its web ever increasingly over our lives, then I would think, I know they were frightened to death a few years ago when James Dobson said he was thinking of leaving the Republican Party. Why, they invited out into Washington, D.C. They were all there. You know, there was just nothing that that he asked for that they weren't quite willing to give at the time. And I think that really we have a tremendous power, at least for this next 6 months or so between now and November, and we should utilize that in every way we can.
Absolutely. That's absolutely correct and very good advice.
All right, Henry, is there anything else that we should be talking about, that we should be pointing out to our listeners? Because you've only got about 5 more minutes before we have to let you go.
Okay, well, there is another very important thing that people need to learn about. And, you know, we're talking about those people who support this treaty, that think we should get involved with the United Nations. Well, it has just become really public, although we wrote about it a year ago. It is now public that this $100 billion oil for food program administered by the United Nations for Saddam Hussein is fraught with corruption. More than $10 billion was skimmed off the top for Hussein. The bank account is in France and is still not audited. France will not give up the records, and we wonder why France didn't want us to go into Iraq. Kofi Annan's son was on the board of directors of the company that got the contract to oversee the program. This is the kind of corruption that runs throughout the United Nations. And still, people like John Turner think that we, and John Kerry for that matter, think that we ought to get in bed with the United Nations. I say absolutely not. Enough is enough.
I agree with you, and of course, one only has to study the history of United Nations peacekeeping operations to find out that very often they were not peacekeeping at all. They were disasters for the areas that where they were involved. One only has to study how well the United Nations worked in Rwanda. And blocking the efforts by the local United Nations commander to save the lives of the 800,000 Christians who were massacred there in 94. And the man who was really in charge of that whole operation at the United Nations level, his name was Kofi Annan.
Absolutely.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, if you really want to be under the tender mercies of people who, truly are, have allowed barbaric things to happen, and of course, there's never been any punishment or call for, for them to be stand trial for what they did. Why, if we're not involved, how can we ever complain if we lose our freedom? And what would you say to your children, if they do lose their freedom and they ask you what you did to preserve it? People say it could never happen here. I believe it's not only can happen, I believe it's in the process of happening. Henry, of course, I certainly agree with you totally that on these issues. Is there anything else that you'd like to bring up for our listeners?
Well, just the importance of getting involved, getting informed, and getting involved. There is something that each one of us can do that will be helpful. We need to find out what it is and do it.
And I think if you go to freedom.org, that's an easy website to remember. I don't know how Henry happened to get that. Well, I know how he got it. He put in for it a long time before they were assigning those names. But freedom.org, a website. And, of course, Henry Lamb has excellent material. What about that news magazine? Are you still putting out your Ecologic News magazine?
Yes, we certainly are. It's a monthly magazine. It's Ecologic Powerhouse. And if somebody wants a free copy, the phone number is 877-847-3443. We'll send anybody who calls a free sample.
That's 877-847-8...
3443.
3443. All right, fine. Well, Henry, I certainly want to thank you so very much for being our guest this afternoon. Do you have any parting thoughts for our listeners?
Yes, let's keep this country free.
Amen to that. And that's really what it's all about. God bless you, and thank you so very much for being with us. And again, if you're interested in going to that conference, it's going to be at the end of July, the 21st to the 24th?
Correct.
All right. Well, you'll certainly want to think about it. It's going to be in Reno, Nevada. It's not that far away from California, and they're hoping to have a great turnout, and we're hoping to be there as well. God bless you. Thank you so much, Henry.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, fine. Well, that's Henry Lamb, and Henry, of course, is off to Washington, D.C. He has contacts there. He's on the front lines of this battle. He's just an average person, just like I am. Like so many of the people who are involved in this, but they're people who feel called to become involved. Freedom is lost when good people do nothing. and the price that good people pay for their apathy and their indifference to public affairs is that eventually they are ruled by evil men. So don't think for one minute it can't happen here. It not only can happen here, it is happening here. And believe me, the real dedication of the leaders of both political parties, and I believe this is why nothing is really effectively being done, is this idea of a world government. This has been the driving force behind everything going back to 1891. When Cecil Rhodes created a secret society in London to bring about a world government. And he actually had four people there. You'll find the story in William Stead's diary. I have copies of that, the pages of it. And William Stead eventually, in his diary, recorded who was there and how they were going to organize this organization in concentric circles. And so many of the people would never even know exactly who ran this, but it was be organized as a secret organization based upon the Jesuits. We even have copies of Cecil Rhodes' Confession of Faith he wrote in 1875. We talked about why don't we form a secret society to bring all the underdeveloped nations of the world under British control and reunite with the United States. If any of you would like a copy of that Confession of Faith, where he talked about how they're going to go into the universities and begin to recruit young men for their cause, and then of course they would become part of this secret society. This is all covered in Professor Quigley's wonderful book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time. And of course, the organization created the Boer War. It created the First World War. And then, of course, they transferred leadership to the United States and created the Second World War. They were actually backing Adolf Hitler, but you're not supposed to know that. It's all covered in Professor Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time. That's probably why somebody came in and bought up the book and of course, destroyed the place of the book. If you want to hear Professor Quigley tell the story, it's in our four-tape set, The Secret Government. We'll be back here in just a moment to wrap up this program here at Radio Liberty.
The Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and a few people have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a Confession of Faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I want to mention some of the things that you really should get to read to understand what's going on or listen to. We have a four-tape set. It's called The Secret Government. Actually, you'll hear Professor Quigley in that four-tape set talking about how his book was suppressed, a book, of course, that goes into the background of the secret society which rules America today. Professor Quigley was Bill Clinton's mentor, and it's a fascinating tape. He talks about these crazy right-wingers. He doesn't like conservatives. He doesn't like Christians. He's an elitist, and he will tell you why these crazy right-wingers come to me, and they show me the emblem on the back of the dollar bill, the pyramid capped by the all-seeing eye. They say that's the symbol of the Illuminati. Why, that's been around 6,000 years. And he's absolutely right. It has been around 6,000 years. So what's it doing on the back of the dollar bill? Well, of course, you need to hear Professor Quigley, and then, of course, you need to get our books on the all-seeing eye and the emblem on the back of the dollar bill. We have all of this covered. We've got this from the Masons. We've got it from the occultists. They understand what it's all about, and they laugh at how foolish the American people are, because they hide their emblems in plain sight all the time. We see them every day, and we have no idea what they are, and we want to just go ahead and live our lives and have a good time, but they have an objective, Their goal is a new world order and a new world religion. You need to get our four-tape set on the secret government. You need to get a four-tape set on the secret societies or a secret government special. There's so much information that we have that's available. You have to make them move, though. You have to get this. You have to read it. You have to study it. You have to challenge it. You have to really care enough about your future, your family, your freedom to become involved. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 and order any of these items we've talked about. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when we have to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener support, and we do hope that many of you will decide that you're going to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and help us in this epic struggle to see if America can be preserved, because if America is lost, ladies and gentlemen, who will you blame? Once America is gone, you will never reclaim it. And there's just so few people out there that are really getting the truth out about the spiritual nature of what's going on. Oh, there are lots of conservatives that say, gee, we need less government. But then, of course, every slave would like to be free. But the real plan is to create a feudalistic system in America with a ruling elite, a massive police force, and then everybody else, of course, reduced to simply servitude. You can read this on page 342 of Professor Quigley's book, where he tells about how the central bankers of the world really control the individual governments, and, of course, their goal is to create a feudalistic system. And then, of course, he talks about how they control the politicians by giving them good jobs once they've left government. And that's exactly what happens. You can see this. You know these things are happening. The following page, the 325, he talks about how banks create money out of nothing. And he, as the speaker who was the chairman of the Midland Bank said, most people wouldn't like to know that banks create money out of nothing. Well, they've been doing this for almost a century, and now we've got to a point we have massive debt. And if anything happens, if the governments of the world stop financing America's national debt, this economy is going to collapse, and you better understand what will happen then, because freedom as we've known it will cease to exist. There will be a dictatorship. You need to get Professor Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time. You can get it by itself, 1,342 pages, but so vitally important for you to read. Or you can get part of the Tragedy and Hope special, which includes the interviews with Professor Quigley and the book Foundations, Their Power and Influence, that tells how the Rockefeller Foundation and the Ford Foundation and the Carnegie Foundation have been financing communism and socialism for almost a century. Why would they do that? Because if you look at the communist state, there's no redistribution of the wealth of the wealthy. The wealthy control the nation. There's a ruling elite, and everybody else is enslaved. And if you can create a socialist society, you can call it democratic socialism, you can call it whatever you want to, but the people of great wealth, or at least those people who are dedicated to power, can buy the politicians, and then they control the government. And that's exactly what's happening here. And that's why many of our senators are willing to go along with the Law of the Sea Treaty and the Desertification Treaty and the Biodiversity Treaty. Because the finest politicians that money can buy, and they're willing to sacrifice your future for their personal advantage. They think they're going, of course, to end up as free people. But whenever freedom is lost, why, good men rot in filthy jails, and those who cry appease, appease, are ordinarily hanged by those they hope to please. So my plea to you is get involved. If you'd like a free copy of our newsletter, why, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WARM. Get my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, or The Brotherhood of Darkness Special. Get the various videos we have. Diaprax in the Church, the story of the Church Growth Movement. Megiddo, the March to Armageddon, the story of the Third World War that we're in right now. The Iraq, the Untold Story, comes by itself, or with a syllabus that goes into how the fact that there was no Gulf Tonkin incident. The Japanese had been trying to surrender for 6 months, and we wouldn't let them surrender. There was no reason to drop the bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. The invasion of Iwo Jima and Okinawa were totally unnecessary, unless you wanted to kill an awful lot of people, and we're dealing with organized evil, and when you understand that, it all begins to make sense. Otherwise, nothing going on makes sense. Pray for America. pray for our leaders and our ministers, but please remember to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until Monday, when we'll be back with you once again, this is Dr. Stan saying goodbye, and may the Lord be with you. And once again, our number 1-800-544-8927. Write for a free newsletter. Join us in this epic struggle.